Good evening, everyone. Please join with me in prayer as we look at this section of 2 Peter. Father, we do thank you for your word, and Father, we thank you that you teach us through your word. We pray that you would guide our hearts and our minds for your glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I want to do a little bit of an experiment with you. The challenge with 2 Peter is, and if you see me sort of struggling a bit here with the Bible, is these Bibles, they're so new, they don't want to just sort of stay open. So, and because we're at 2 Peter, we will push on though. I want to do an experiment with you. See, test your memories out. Who can remember what they had for breakfast? Start with a very easy one. We can all remember. Yeah, a few people looking hazy. Never mind. What about what's featured in the news in the last week? Yeah, a few people scratching around. News. What's the news? I don't look at the news. Any ideas? Victorian election, yes, that featured in the news. What else featured in the last week? Sorry? A little bit of wind, yeah, just a little bit of wind, maybe a bit of dust thrown in. Yes. Sorry, the All Blacks lost. That's come up at every service. Common theme there, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Okay, what gospel have we preached on in 2018? Matthew, well done. What other books? Sorry? Daniel, yes. 1 Peter, well done. Yeah, that's a bit of a giveaway when we're up to 2 Peter, isn't it? Other ones? Can anyone remember any others? Titus, yes. Psalms. Psalms is always a safe one. You know, think summer, Psalms. We'll actually be coming back to those in 2019 as well. We did touch on Philemon. It's a short book, so if you were here for a week or not here for a week, you would have missed it. Titus. And I think Matt may even have done a one-off on Colossians, so there you go. We forget things, don't we? So easy to forget things. In fact, Amanda was talking about knitting and sort of gave me the entry line into the sermon. Some things, it doesn't matter if we forget them, does it? It doesn't really matter if we remember what we had for breakfast. I guess if you haven't remembered to eat at all, that might start to become a problem. But it doesn't really matter. In a month's time, there'll be new headlines. The old headlines from this week will be history. It's probably not going to affect us too much. But some things, we forget them, and it's really a problem. In fact, from a very early age, I can remember being taught, look right, look left, look right again. Get that wrong and you're in trouble. Unless you're in a different country and a car, I get that. So I get a bit confused having spent 4 years in America. Do I look right, left, right, or do I look left, right, left? And if I'm in the wrong country at the right time, that can be a problem. So it's important to remember that, isn't it? Peter's focus in 2 Peter is on remembering. It's on remembering the truth about Jesus. And we heard last week how important it is that knowing the truth about Jesus changes everything. Jesus is the one who equips us to negotiate through life and enables us to participate with God forever. Peter is really concerned that his readers are reassured that the understanding that they have about Jesus is reliable and it is true. He doesn't want them to be misled and by the false teachers who have forgotten about Jesus, who have sort of almost moved on from Jesus in a lot of ways as they neglect to focus on his return. Three times in the second half of this chapter, Peter talks about remembering. Verse 12, I will always remind you of these things. Verse 13, I think it is right to refresh your memory. Verse 15, remember these things. So the question we need to ask ourselves is, what is Peter reminding his readers of? What are the things in verse 12 that Peter says, I will always remind you of? Well, it's what we looked at last week. It's our identity in Christ. The truth that the believers had about their status before God. That through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been given faith. And it's faith that is as precious as the faith that the apostles had. Okay? Faith in God who saves his people from their sins. Think about that for a minute. The faith that we have as Christians, as followers of Jesus, is the same faith that we share with the apostles, the eyewitnesses to Jesus. Knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing about the truth about Jesus, that he is both Lord and Savior, that through his great and precious promises, we're able to escape the corruption of this world and by the gift of the Holy Spirit, share in the very nature of God himself. It's an incredible status before God that we are given. Now, Peter is not saying anything new to the believers here. They are very familiar with faith. They understand grace and obedience. But Peter is aware that there are some people among them who are teaching things that are not in accord with the truth of the gospel. And the false teachers have twisted the truth of God's grace and tried to use it as a license to sin. And Peter knows how important it is for his readers not to forget that their identity is founded in Christ. They need to be reminded of these truths, especially when they are facing this situation of challenges in regards to God's grace. In verses 13 and 14, Peter goes on to explain in detail the urgency for refreshing them, for reminding them and refreshing their memories about these truths that they've been taught. Have a look there, verse 13. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. Peter's going to die soon. It's interesting to reflect on what Peter says, knowing that in all likelihood, as he writes this letter, it could well be his last one to the Christian church in the Roman provinces. He doesn't try to impress them with new things. He just shares with them the same things again. It's a bit like a teacher preparing people for an exam. Hands up if you've done exams in the last month or so. Yeah, half the church. Hands up if you've been prepping people for exams in the last couple of months. At least one. That's reassuring. The thing about teaching people and prepping for exams is, hopefully, the curriculum has been taught throughout the year, yeah? And so when you come to that last week, you're not actually learning new material. You're actually revising the material that you've already learned. I know there's exceptions. The best thing that the teacher can do at that point is not introduce new material, but actually refresh and remind people of the things they've already learned. So that when they go into that exam, they haven't got the teacher there with them, but they're ready for it. See, Peter is not going to be around for much longer. And so he wants to refresh the readers while they have a chance, while he is still there with them. But not only does Peter want to remind the readers of the truth about Jesus, and not only does he want to continue to refresh their memories, Peter doesn't want that to end when he dies. The message of the gospel is far bigger than Peter. Peter is one of the great pillars in the history of Christianity. But he's not the foundation of Christianity. Jesus is. And when Peter dies, he doesn't want Christianity to suddenly stop. He wants it to continue way beyond his death. And so he wants the people to always remember. Have a look there, verse 15. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. Following Jesus, trusting in his death and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins, living lives in response to Jesus' amazing act of kindness. It's to continue way past Jesus, way past Peter's time on the earth. My grandmother was very gifted in being able to play the piano. It's kind of dissipated as the generations have gone on. But she would wake up in the middle of the night, she'd listen to music on the radio, and then she'd go out to the piano and just start playing it. And then she'd write the music down on paper, record, and would have a record of it. Now I can listen to music and I can appreciate it and enjoy it. And then it's gone. But my grandmother went the next step. She actually recorded it so that when she's no longer there, people can still continue to enjoy it, can still continue to appreciate it. And Peter here wants people to not only be reminded, not only be refreshed, but to remember the truth about Jesus long after he is gone. Now, in the remaining verses of this chapter, Peter starts to give the evidence for this. Why is it that he is so desperate for the people to keep remembering the truth about Jesus? Why is it that this news about Jesus is so important for his readers to remember? Well, the answer is because it's true. Peter is an eyewitness. He doesn't make up any of this. It's not like a novel that's just been invented out of someone's head, or a movie that's just been created. This message is not a made-up story. Have a look there, verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Many of you will know that I've spent several years in the US, and I keep up to date with the news up in Northern California. And one of the things that has really distressed me in the last couple of weeks has been the fires that have come back there. There was devastating fires there only a year and a half ago, and just raced through and destroyed many houses, including a house of a dear friend. But these most recent fires in a place called Butte County have been named the Campfire, and they've actually destroyed 84 lives and over 14,000 homes. It is a huge thing that has just gone through there. How do I know about that? I'm not over there at the moment. It's only because of what I've been able to read and the reports that have come back of the eyewitnesses who are there and who are going through this at the moment in a very real way. They are eyewitnesses who are testifying to events that are true and occurring. Well, Peter and the other disciples saw Jesus. They lived with him, they ate with him, they spoke with him. And they were eyewitnesses to his majesty. We read in Matthew's gospel account that Jesus took Peter, James and John up a high mountain, and there he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter spoke to Jesus. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." You can read similar accounts of this transfiguration in Mark's gospel and Luke's gospel. All three of the gospels record the events of the transfiguration, of that moment when the disciples are in the presence of Jesus and seeing his majesty. Now, they've got to be protected by the cloud, because otherwise they would die on the spot in the presence of such power and majesty. But even John, although he doesn't specifically talk about the transfiguration, he alludes to it when he says that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Think about what the disciples saw, what they experienced. This is heart-stopping stuff. It's breathtaking to actually be in the presence and see the majesty of Jesus and then hear the voice of God. Imagine being on that mountain at that moment. It's no wonder that the disciples were terrified and fell flat on the ground. And here in our hands tonight, we have a letter written by one of those eyewitnesses. Peter was there on that mountain. And he has written a letter to record what he saw and to encourage people. Remember the truth about Jesus. It is so important. I was there. This is true. Jesus is the one that has been talked about. Don't forget him. Don't get distracted by other things. Remember the truth that you've been taught. Jesus is the real deal. Peter is an eyewitness to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he's so desperate for his readers to remember the truth, to remember what they've been taught. Because Peter knows it's true. But Peter then goes on to say in verse 19, we also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you'll do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Peter says here, if that's not enough, if the eyewitness is not enough, we also have the word of God in the prophecy of Scripture, through the words of the prophets. Now, we need to, just a word of caution here as we read this little section to Peter. When Peter talks about Old Testament prophecy here as something that is completely reliable, he's not saying that the prophets were more reliable than the New Testament apostles. He's not saying that. What Peter is saying is that the truth that the prophets spoke of, we've seen it. We've heard it. We can testify to what the prophets were saying and what they were pointing to. What God had inspired those Old Testament prophets to talk about and to share. It's happened. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's promised Messiah King, we've seen him, we've lived with him, we've seen his majesty, we've heard the voice of God testify that he is the real deal. Do you recall back in 2000, what was the big event that happened here in Sydney in 2000? Olympics, of course. Do you recall what happened back in 1993? Yep. Excellent. The announcement of the Olympics, thank you, Tamora. Yes. Okay. The announcement of the Olympics was made in September 1993. Okay. And some of you may remember where you were at that point. At that point, when that announcement was made, the process was set in place for the Olympics in 2000. Okay. When that announcement was made, we knew that the Olympics was going to come in Sydney in 2000. There was great celebration in Sydney that day. Now, when we get to 2000, we're eyewitnesses to what we already knew. We knew in 1993 the Olympics is going to come to Sydney in 2000. When we get to 2000 and we actually experience the Olympics and we're seeing it, we're perhaps gone and visited one of the events, we have become eyewitnesses to what we knew was happening. It's the same with Peter and the apostles. They are eyewitnesses to what had already been set in place through the words of the prophets. And the moment the prophets were given the word of God through the Holy Spirit, it was set in place. And the apostles become eyewitnesses, testifying, confirming what was already known. Well, Peter then says in verse 20 that above all, in other words, over and above the eyewitnesses, the eyewitness of the apostles, over and above the prophetic message of the prophets of the Old Testament, the reason Peter gives for continuing to remind these readers why it is so important to remember the truth about Jesus is because God himself has inspired this message. It's the Holy Spirit moving through these people. God's word directly to be recorded. Verse 20. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. You know, if you look at the Book of Mormon, or you look at the testimonies of Buddha, you look at the prophet Muhammad and the Quran, all of those writings have come out of human thought and thinking. The Bible is the only one that claims to be inspired by the very word of God, the Holy Spirit. Scripture is not made up. It comes from God through the power of the Holy Spirit. King David's last words are recorded for us in 2 Samuel. And they begin by saying this: "The Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word was on my tongue." So what do we do then in light of this evidence that we've seen, the eyewitnesses, the word of God in the prophets, inspired by God himself? What do we do with all of this information? How are we to apply it to our own lives? I want to suggest three things. Number one, pay attention to the Scriptures. Pay attention to the Scriptures. Peter says that in verse 19, you will do well to pay attention to it. They reveal Jesus to us. The Bible reveals Jesus to us. Remember the faith that you have received. Jesus is the light to guide us through this world that we live in. I was sharing this morning that over the course of this last week, there's been about six or seven people that have been talking to me about specific prayer points that are really, really heavy, tough situations they are going through. And you think, we need to remember who is in control here. You know, Jesus has given us such a great gift in life and faith in him. The way to know Jesus is through God's word. We live in a world that ignores God, that cares only for itself. And therefore, we do well to pay attention to God's word as it guides us through this life. Because if we just listen to the world, we're only ever going to do what our own selfish desires want. If we need God to guide us through this world. Pay attention to the Scriptures. Secondly, continue holding on to the truths that you've been taught. The truth that Jesus came into the world to pay the penalty for all our sins. The truth that whoever believes in Jesus Christ and asks him to forgive their sin will live with him forever. Don't let anyone rob you of the assurance that comes from knowing Jesus as Lord and Saviour. It's the same message today as it was yesterday, as it was last week, last year, last decade, last century. It doesn't change. And if someone does tell you something different to that message of the gospel, you know it is not the true gospel, because the message of the gospel doesn't change from one generation to the next. God always remains the same, yesterday, today, forever. We've got people within our family of Christ here at St. Aidan's who are in their 90s. The message of the gospel is the same for them today as it was when they were 15. It's the same for them today as it was when they were 25. It hasn't changed. And be encouraged. If you are sitting here today and you heard the message of the gospel and you're 15, 16, 17, 18, 20, 21, be encouraged that, God willing, when you're 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, that message is still the same. And you're still trusting in it. Remember the truth. Continue holding on to that truth that you've been taught. Never grow tired of it, because that is the saving grace that God has given to us. Which leads me to the last point. Don't give up trusting in the Lord Jesus. Because a rich welcome into God's eternal kingdom is what awaits all who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Please pray with me. Father God, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you sent him to this world, into this world, to save us, to pay that price on the cross. Father, we thank you for the Apostle Peter, who faithfully recorded that encounter with your Son, who wrote down the truths and encouraged people to remember that truth about Jesus. We thank you that for the gift of your word that we are able to read freely now. And Father, we pray that we would continue to remember what Jesus has done. May he be the guide of our life, the saviour of our life, and the light for the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.